And your friend James is already quite at home up in the rigging.
Apparently nothing scares James.
Reaching in.
Ugh. Way to go, James. Swan dive into the barrel.
When the time is right, we take the ship from Captain Bobby.
We love stories!
It's time for the Appleseed. Sometime just about every day, filled with stories for you and your family. I'm Sam Payne, your host. What a pleasure it is to have you with us today, and we've been excited to bring you episode 4 of Treasure Island 2020, the swashbuckling time-traveling adventure unfolding here on the Appleseed. We hope you've been following along with us, but if you haven't and want to catch up, or even if you want to skip ahead because you just can't wait to find out what comes next, well, you can. Just Google Treasure Island 2020. And you can hear all the episodes of the entire 10-part series whenever you like. And, of course, you can find the Appleseed online at byuradio.org/Appleseed. An archive there of all of the episodes of this show, more than 1,000 episodes and thousands of stories for your listening pleasure anytime you like. Well, we're excited to bring you today's chapter of Treasure Island 2020, and it happens in just a moment. But first, a good story is not all happiness and rosy times with your pals, is it? I mean, real heroes in great stories find themselves up against real dangers and find themselves having to decide how to act in tight spots. And that's some of the magic of great stories, yeah? I mean, we look at how our heroes behave, and we wonder if we might behave the same way, or in some other way. And of course, we also get to compare ourselves to the villains in the story. What would you do in the situation of the characters in the story? You get to ask yourself that question when you read or listen to great stories. And I talked about that a little bit with Ben Strauss and David Kreitzman, who created Treasure Island 2020. Here's just a little bit from that conversation.
Father to son, mother to daughter. These are the stories that we tell our children that let us tell our children how we want to be as people and how we want them to be as people. Here are the people who we liked in these stories, who made difficult choices that we admire, and we hope that they'll model their lives after these people. Or here are the people who tried and failed. Here are the mistakes they made. That's what stories can do. And I sound like an academic, which I'm not. I just believe these things.
Not even close.
David will tell you how stupid I am.
What's the opposite of an academic?
I'm listening to myself talk now, but I really believe these things. And that's one of the reasons why I love what we do.
Yeah.
We really influence people, and you can only do that if they're having fun.
We always hope that the stories that we bring you on the show spark memories and thoughts for you that you can share with the people you love. And while you may not have ever found yourself on the high seas looking for treasure and trying to outwit bloodthirsty pirates, you can look at the characters in a story like this and ask yourself how you're like them or unlike them. After an episode of Treasure Island 2020, it might be good living room or dinner time conversation to ask each other how you are like or unlike James Hawkins or Bonnie O'Rourke. Or if you're really brave, how you're like or unlike someone like Long John Silver or Frank Kincaid. Remember him from episodes 1 and 2? Well, we're going to get to an episode of Treasure Island 2020, episode 4, and it happens right after this.
You're listening to The Appleseed. We'll be back in a moment.
Welcome back to The Appleseed. Here's Sam Payne.
It's great to have you back with us on today's episode of The Appleseed. We're going to bring you episode 4 of Treasure Island 2020, the swashbuckling time-traveling adventure unfolding here on The Appleseed. Now, maybe you've been following along with us, but if you haven't and you want to catch up, or even if you want to skip ahead because you can't wait to find out what comes next, you just Google Treasure Island 2020 and you can hear all of the episodes of the 10-part series whenever you like. Now, in the story so far, after meeting Billy Bones, the mysterious pirate who has come forward in time through a mysterious vortex, James and his friends, Max and Morgan, go back in time through that same vortex all the way back to the 18th century, where they meet Long John Silver and Captain Bonnie O'Rourke aboard the ship Hispaniola, and they're just about to head out to sea after treasure when an angry mob at the dock tries to end their adventure before it even begins. Long John Silver couldn't have anything to do with that, could he? Well, we're excited to bring you today's exciting chapter of Treasure Island 2020, and it happens right now.
There he is. There's Long John Silver. Take the ship. Arrest them all and kill anyone who resists.
This is unfortunate.
Unfortunate. Unfortunate.
Unfortunate? They're going to storm the ship.
What do we do? Fight?
Fight? Look how many of them there are. And they have torches and pitchforks and who knows what else.
It seems they want your head on one of those pitchforks, Mr. Silver.
Then may I suggest, Captain, for these brave orphans, we best not miss the tide.
For once, Mr. Silver, we agree.
The wind's at our backs, Captain.
Then hoist the mainsail, Mr. Reed.
Hoist the mainsail.
So fast, Bonnie girl. Men, grab the hawsers. Don't let them leave the docks.
They've got the ropes. We're stuck.
They're going to board the ship.
Cut the hawsers, now!
Cut the hawsers!
The ropes are too thick. We'll never cut through them in time.
The crew is on the sails. We need more hands on deck.
They're starting to climb the ropes.
Max, Hawkins, grab one of those knives.
Got it.
I can't.
Start sawing at the ropes as fast as you can.
There's no way.
Master Max, if your hands be not strong, use that brain of yours.
I don't...
Think, Max. Think.
Friction. Heat. Here, use these torches to heat up the blades.
Good thinking, Max.
Ugh, don't bore my hands.
They're starting to board. Hold them off.
Almost through the rope. Got it.
Mine too. One more.
Too late. Almost. Got you, boy.
Everyone on
the vessel. Stay away from me.
Help, Jane.
Come on.
Don't let him on the ship.
Silver, wait until the children learn who you really are.
Let's go! This ship is bound for the West Indies and no looking back!
BYU Radio presents Treasure Island 2020. A reimagined audio adventure based on the classic novel by Robert Louis Stevenson. Episode 4, The Worm in the Apple.
It's a fine morning, Pip.
It is, Captain.
What's our heading, Mr. Reed?
Due south as trim as you please, ma'am.
With this wind, we should reach the Carolinas ahead of schedule. From there, it's on to the Bahamas. Morgan Goodwin!
Present!
You're not in school, Gar. Well, a different sort of school, perhaps. Here, take the wheel.
Me?
Beg pardon, Captain. She's...
A girl. As is Pip. As was I once. There's only one way to learn. By doing. Is that a problem, Mr. Reed?
No, Captain.
Good. The wheel, Morgan. Both hands.
Like this?
That's it. Hold her steady.
Wow. She's a great ship, Captain Bonnie.
She's neither as big nor as pretty as those other vessels. But she's fast and proud, and she'll never let you down when you need her.
Your tea, Captain. Two lumps, the way you like it.
Two lumps?
Thank you, Mr. Silver.
My pleasure.
Morning, Mr. Silver.
Why, if it ain't Mistress Morgan, Master and Commander. How do you like that, Mr. Reed?
If I'm no longer needed here, I'll go below. With your permission, ma'am.
Permission granted, Mr. Reed. Don't worry about him, Morgan. He can get a bit grumpy at sea. Tell me, John Silver... How are our other new recruits?
Learning the ropes, ma'am. Up there in the rigging.
Don't look down, James. You're getting the dizzies.
My blisters have blisters, Sam.
Them soft hands of yours will be tough as a coconut shell before we're done. Keep climbing all the way to the crow's nest.
You mean up there? At the very top?
You ain't scared, are you, lad?
Not of falling. More the landing part.
You stick with Sam Muffin, and you'll live forever. Hold fast to the windward shrouds and tread on the ratlins. It's like climbing the stairs all the way to heaven.
Like this?
That's it. You're a natural. Higher now. Almost there.
If Mom could see me now, or Dad. I remember the first time he took me to the top of the torch at the Statue of Liberty. I felt like I could see the whole world. Made it! Max! Morgan! Pip! Woohoo! Up here! Come on, Max! Give it a try!
I can't look.
You all right, Max? Are you always this green?
No, Pip, because usually I'm not on a rickety old ship in the middle of a hostile ocean. I miss Fortnite so much.
A fortnight? We've only been at sea for a day.
I know, I meant... never mind.
You'll get your sea legs. Try not to think about the roll of the ship. The way it goes up and down, up and down.
Would you mind a little less encouragement?
Look out there in the water!
What's that?
A humpback whale! There she blows!
It's getting me all wet.
He's just welcoming you to the sea.
Witchcraft! It's witchcraft, that's what it is!
What's the meaning of this?
Captain, if you don't mind, may I?
Be my guest!
Magic it
Briny!
Is.
Old Briny, did you get hit in the head with the mast?
Taint me head, John Silver. Tis witchcraft! I knew it from the moment I saw this here strange sea bag with the teeth. It's the devil's own!
That's James's backpack! Hawkins, you'd better come down!
Coming!
You stay out of James's sea bag, Briny.
His wizard's bag of tricks, you mean? Which makes that girl there a witch, and this runt here their familiar. Just look at this! What cursed objects these be!
Belay that. I stand by James Hawkins. James!
I'm coming down! Just give me a... Oh. There's nothing to be afraid of!
Be careful, James!
I'm trying!
Witches and wizards are on board the ship, I'm telling you! What's next? Ghosts?
Okay, on the ground.
Back, boy. Don't let him cast a spell.
I'm not a... If you let me explain...
Go on, lad.
Everything in my sea bag is what any kid my age carries around, where I'm from. This is a flashlight.
A torch. Show them how it works, James.
I just push this button.
Saints preserve us. How do you do that?
What'd I tell you? Wizardry!
No. It works on something called batteries.
Like, candles made of chemicals. It's science, not sorcery.
And this, just a roll of duct tape.
For catching ducks?
No, it holds things together, tighter than rope. And this is like a giant magnet. It detects metal.
Hear that? It's tools and games. Are you afraid of that, old Briny?
And what about this here book? And this brass key?
The key? The key's for luck. And the book is for school. But then you can read that yourself, can't you?
Never had book learning. Never needed it.
Are we done with our witch trial? Then more sail and less talk. One moment, Briny. You owe James and his friends an apology.
Never.
Who's the captain of the ship?
Some captain.
Do as he says, Briny, or I'll give you a taste of the lash myself.
I reckon I was mistaken. But I still say that lass should be doing woman's work.
You take that back!
Easy there, Morgan. Old Briny here, he's got a pint.
Does?
Indeed. We should be doing woman's work.
Yes, that's it, Morgan. You've got an act for the cutlass. But when you parry, use the heavy part of your blade.
Like this, Captain?
Good. Now attack. That's what I call women's work.
Master Max, your sister's quite the warrior.
Morgan's good at everything. Field hockey, basketball, even surfing.
Are these games?
Yo, Max, you've got to try this. You can see forever from up here.
And your friend James is already quite at home up in the rigging.
Apparently nothing scares James.
And you, my lad?
I'm pretty much scared of everything out here, and for good reason. Everything out here could kill you.
I see. You feel as if you're the runt of the litter.
Well, I wouldn't put it that way, but...
Shall I tell you a secret? James and Morgan envy you.
Oh, yeah, sure they do.
John Silver tells no lies.
Why would they envy me?
For that thing you carry around on your shoulders. That mighty brain with the treasure map locked inside. You're the one who figured out how to cut the ropes. You're the reason we're out here. Truth is, Master Max, you're indispensable.
Yes, I guess I am. Thank you for noticing.
I'm fascinated by this brain of yours. I myself can't recall what I made for breakfast, and you? You remember everything.
Everything I see and read.
Miraculous. I love to see it in action.
Okay.
Suppose you tell me what you remember about that map.
Oh, you call this supper, John Silver? Oh, more like torture.
It's a feast for the likes of you, Bridie. Sea biscuit, salt pork and peas. If we don't make land soon, you'll be eating shoe leather and liking it.
Pipe down, all of you. You see that barrel yonder? It's full of fresh fruit, the captain's compliments. That's more like it. One more piece per man. Play us a tune, Pip.
Sam Moffat, give us a dance.
With pleasure.
I brought you guys some food.
Thanks, Hawkins.
Max? I'm good. Feels like I've got a vortex in my stomach. The salt pork, not likely to help.
Better than being at Aunt Martha's, eating takeout every night.
Sounds good to me.
I wonder what my mom's doing right now. I wish there was a way to let her know I'm okay.
Master Max, tell us a story.
Me?
Well, there must be something in that miraculous head of yours.
Go on, Max.
Yes, go on, Max. Make it something fantastic.
Fantastic. Okay, once upon a time...
That's a new one!
Don't you never mind, lad. You can do it.
All right. Once upon a time, in the future, in a galaxy far, far away, there will be ships that fly through the air like birds, and horseless carriages that race along the road as fast as the wind.
Sounds magical.
Are there pirates in this future?
Well, yeah. They'll look like businessmen, but they'll be pirates all the same.
It's a fairy tale you're telling.
Ships that fly, if only.
Like candles made of chemicals and sea bags with teeth. Aye, Master Max. That's quite a fairy tale indeed.
I still can't believe this is all real. The ship, that moon, the stars.
James.
Mom, is that you?
James?
Ah, Morgan! Oh, hey, thought you were sleeping.
I woke up and your hammock was empty. What are you doing up on deck?
Couldn't sleep. Want to hear something crazy? I thought I heard my mom's voice in the wind. She feels so far away.
Aunt Martha must have called our mom and dad by now. The police are probably looking for us.
I hope my mom's okay. She helped us get away from Kincaid. He won't like that.
She cares a lot about you.
Since my dad died, it's only been the two of us. And she's given everything trying to keep the motel afloat.
She seems like a really good mom.
She is. I wish I told her that more. And your parents?
I know they love us. They're just busy, I guess. James, I'm sure they're worried back home, and I know I should be scared, but...
I'm glad to be here, too. And I'm glad I'm here with you.
Yeah, me too.
Ship off the port bow! All hands on deck! All hands on deck!
Where is it, Mr. Reed?
There, lad. Just at the horizon. Those specks of light.
You have a keen eye, Isaiah Reed. Is it friend or foe?
can't tell, but the sun will be up soon.
By then it may be too late.
Mr. Reed, can I have your spyglass?
All right.
James, where are you going?
Up there, in the rigging, with my trusty backpack. Like my father used to say, always be prepared for what you're not prepared for.
What's all the noise? Where's James going?
To the crow's nest.
In the dark?
He's a brave lad, our James.
Sam Moffat, that should be you up there.
The boy knows the ropes. I learned him myself. Ahoy, James! Mind you don't fall and break your neck.
If anything happens to that lad, it'll be your neck.
Made it to the crow's nest!
What do you see, James?
Sun's rising. There's a ship, all right.
The flag, James. Can you see the flag?
I think so. Yes, now I see. It's blue with a red cross and stripes of red and white.
The Union Jack.
Is that good?
'Tis the flag of His Majesty's Navy.
Oh, we're safe.
Stick to your posts and keep your powder dry. We're not out of danger yet.
But they're on our side, aren't they?
Maybe.
What do you mean, maybe?
Mr. Silver, did you tell anyone about the treasure?
Me? I'm no fool.
I don't understand.
The ship is heading this way. Wait, what are they doing? They're taking down the flag and hauling up another.
Saints alive.
It's a black flag with a skull and crossbones.
Pirates! I knew it!
Pirates! Shiver me timbers. What if he's still alive? What if he's found us?
Who?
That sounded like...
Cannonball! Get down, Max!
That could have been my head.
Mr. Reed, we must outrun them.
Aye, Captain, more sail! Look alive, you lot, or you won't be alive much longer.
Mr. Silver, take off that apron and make yourself useful.
Aye, aye, Captain. Even with one leg, John Silver's a match for any buccaneer.
They're firing again! Stay down! They're gaining on us!
Can we go any faster?
That's all the sail we've got!
They're coming around, Captain. They mean to give us a broadside with all their guns.
They'll sink us for sure. It can't be.
Who is it, Mr. Silver? Do you know that ship?
I fear it's the Walrus, but Flint is dead. Everyone says so.
What was that? Another cannon?
No, lass. That was thunder.
Storm! A big one!
Looks like some nasty weather brewing portside.
Great. If the pirates don't sink us, the storm will.
Perhaps, lad. But the storm's our only chance. Mr. Reed! Apart.
Are you sure, Bonnie? I
said, hard apart!
You're heading straight for the storm!
Aye, Mr. Silver, and pray it's not too late!
And now a word from our sponsor.
Coming soon, the adventures of Tex Fuzzbeard, the cowboy who became a pirate. Tex was tired of sagebrush.
I want seaweed.
He made his way to the ocean and onto a pirate ship.
Yeehaw!
Follow Tex as he works to fit in with his new shipmates.
Drop the anchor and let's set sail, my mateys.
We can't set sail if the anchor's dropped, and you're not the captain. We don't take orders from you.
It's not all smooth sailing when Tex tries to make a sleeping bag out of the ship's main sail.
What do you mean by cutting on the sail? Would you have us be stranded in the middle of the ocean?
Well, I didn't mean nothing by it. That cloth was just hanging there. My apologies, matey.
I ain't your matey. And you're lucky we aren't making you walk the plank.
I don't even know what that means.
There's a mighty big heap of drama on The Adventures of Tex Fuzzbeard, the cowboy who became a pirate. It's all coming soon, or maybe not.
We're a mighty fine boat full of buckaroos.
Buccaneers.
Buckaroos.
Buccaneers.
Buckaroos.
And now, back to the show.
James, lad. Are you still up there?
Still here, for now.
Get down here.
It's too late. They'll never make it down the rigging.
Hold on, Hawkins. Don't worry about me.
The waves must be 30 feet high.
Wish I had my surfboard.
Morgan, I love you, but you're crazy.
Batten down the hatches. I've always wanted to say that.
Captain Bonnie, if I didn't know better, I'd say you enjoy this.
The sea took me, husband. I've been itching for a chance to fight back.
Fight back against the ocean? You're even crazier than Morgan.
She's gonna keel over. Can't hold her in this wind much longer.
James! James Hawkins! Can you see the black flag?
It's still coming on!
Baby Jones' locker. Here we come.
No, wait. It's turning back. The pirate ship was afraid of the storm. It's
struck it for sure.
James, are you okay?
James, say something.
My ears can't stop ringing. What happened?
Lightning hit the mast.
You're lucky you're not barbecued.
Lucky indeed. It just missed you.
What's that?
The lightning must have struck the yardarm. If it gives way, it'll take the mainsail with it.
We'll never make it through the storm without that sail.
Hawkins, you have to try to fix it.
Fix it? But how? My backpack!
Say, duct tape can repair almost anything. All I have to do is climb down to the damaged yardarm. Whoa! Oh, these ropes are slick. Almost lost it.
James, be careful!
Sam Buffett, you lazy bag of bones. Climb up there and help him.
Who? Me?
Or maybe you'd like some splinters from the wooden leg.
No! We're climbing! Wait for me, James Bad. Sam Buffett to the rescue.
Captain, it's all I can do to keep her upright.
We're in the Lord's hands, Mr. Reed.
And in the hands of James Hawkins and Sam Moffat, heaven help us.
Sam, just in time. Here, take this end of the tape.
It's as sticky as tar.
Now wrap it around the big crack in the wood. Wrap it
just
tight.
Just a minute, lad. Who's the teacher? And who's the student?
You want the ship to sink?
Wrap it tight, you say? Like this?
That's it. Only the same at this end. We'll meet in the middle.
Giant wave off the starboard side. She'll take us with her if it don't hold.
It has to. It just has to.
I'm praying so hard. I'm afraid to
look. Here it goes!
It's holding.
We did it.
Now, Mr. Reed, let's steer out of this storm.
Steer it out of the storm, man.
Three cheers for James and Sam.
Hip hip hooray! Hip hip hooray!
You can always count on duct tape.
Mateys, one and all, 'tis another feast I've prepared for ye. Yes, I know the victuals are few and taste like sawdust, but think of them as roast beef and Yorkshire pudding. Nothing's too good for me, friend. James Hawkins!
Go on, James. Take a bow.
Okay. I just want to say, I never thought I'd end up here, but I'm proud to be a part of the crew of the Hispaniola with Captain Bonnie. Being on this adventure with all of you, it's more than I ever dreamed of, and...
Okay, I'm done, guys.
Eat up, sailors. In the morning, we finish our repairs and make for Jamaica.
James, lad, a word with you.
Yes, Mr. Silver?
It's time you called me John. I meant what I said. I couldn't be prouder if you was my own son.
Thank you, Mr. John. I kept thinking of my dad the whole time I was up there. Holding on for dear life, afraid the next wave would be my last. He was still teaching me, like he was still with me.
Aye, you miss him, eh, lad?
Only every day. My mom, too.
I was just a young lad when I was shanghaied, kidnapped and made to work on a ship against me will. I envy you your memories and those tears you don't want me to see. Here, give your eyes a wipe with me hanky.
I'm not... crying?
No, of course not. Maybe one day you'll teach me a thing or two. Like, about those wondrous creations, the one you keep in your sea bag.
Max, why are you sitting here all by yourself?
What do you care? Go back to your friend James, everybody's hero.
Max Goodwin, are you jealous?
Who's jealous?
James saved your life, and mine, and everyone else's on this ship.
Morgan! Max! Over here!
Go on, he's calling you.
And you too.
It's you he wants. You're two of a kind.
Max!
Just go already. We'll be fine.
How long we been at sea, Sam?
Couple of weeks, I bet, since we seen land. At least we reached warm air.
I'd sell my soul for a bite of salt pork and a thimbleful of peas.
I'd settle for a cup of water.
I told you this ship was cursed.
You there, back to work.
The more we pull together, the faster we'll reach land.
Beg pardon, Captain, ma'am. Can't blame him for being testy. The water barrels are running low, and that barrel of fruit you was kind enough to offer is almost empty.
I'm aware of the situation, Mr. Silver. But we'll have all the fresh water and fruit we want once we reach Jamaica.
If our bones ain't bleached before we get there.
Belay that, Briny. You heard the captain. Back to work.
Morgan, you want to practice with swords again?
Maybe later.
You okay?
I'm worried about Max. He hasn't been on deck for days.
He's probably homesick, that's all. Once we find the gold, we can start trying to find our way back.
It's more than that. At home, he's, well, at home, with his computer and his books, winning science competitions, getting straight A's. Here, he feels like he doesn't belong.
I'll talk to him. Maybe I'll grab him an apple from the barrel.
You sure there are any to spare? Captain Bonnie said we're rationing.
It's just one apple.
Don't let the crew see. These guys get pretty upset if they think someone's taking their share of food.
I'll be careful, I promise.
Let me know how it goes with Max.
Okay, fruit barrel. Let's see what you've got left. Shh, not so loud. Just a few apples and an orange at the very bottom.
Why do they have to make it so deep? Reaching in. Oh!
Way to go, James. Swan dive into the barrel. I give it a 10. Now grab a stupid apple and get out.
So, we're all agreed then. When the time is right, we take the ship from Captain Bobby.
Briny and the others, they're planning to seize the ship.
What say ye, Sam Moffat? You're awful quiet.
Don't get me wrong, mates. I'm with you. But mutiny is mutiny.
Tell them, Sam. Good old Sam.
It's our way or it's the deep six with you, Sam. Your choice.
Well, when you put it like that, I'm with you all the way.
I've got to get out. Got to warn the others.
What's this, then? Did someone call a meeting, and me not invited?
John Silver, he'll stop them.
We wasn't sure where you stand, John Silver. Wasn't sure, was you, Briny? And me, the one who convinced you lot to come on board this ship? Me that's bided his time till the time is right? Me that hatched this here insurrection from the start?
Oh, John Silver, he's their leader.
We're in this together, mateys. And if we fail, we'll swing together. So give me your hand.
What? Give me your hand?
Hush, Polly. It's a blood oath we're swearing, mateys. Your blood if you betray me. You too, Sam. Your hand on it.
Here it is, then.
Mine.
To us, then, taking this creaky old ship. And to all the gold on the Treasure Island.
The Treasure Island!
Traitors. Cutthroats and thieves. And John Silver is the biggest one.
Quiet! Did you hear something? Someone's here.
Episode 4 of Treasure Island 2020. And how's that for a turn of events? You know, tomorrow's episode of The Appleseed will bring you Treasure Island Episode 5. But if you can't wait, or of course if you want to catch up on anything that you might have missed or want to listen to anything again, you can Google Treasure Island 2020 and you'll find all 10 episodes of the series for you to listen to anytime you like. Of course, Treasure Island 2020 is a reimagining of the story by Robert Louis Stevenson, the classic novel Treasure Island, published in the 1880s. Of course, you can find that book in your library. But we're going to bring you a little Robert Louis Stevenson right after the break. I'm Sam Payne. Stick around.
You're listening to The Appleseed. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to The Appleseed. Here's Sam Payne.
It's great to have you back with us on today's episode of The Appleseed. Before the break, you heard episode 4 of Treasure Island 2020. And what a cliffhanger, right? James in that apple barrel, finding out what he finds out. That moment of revelation when you find out, along with James Hawkins, that Long John Silver isn't a lowly cook at all, but a pirate captain. Well, that scene never ceases to surprise, whether you've heard the story one time or 100. That scene with James in the apple barrel overhearing the plans of the pirates is one of the most famous scenes anywhere. It's always a scene filled with the gasp of realization that the guys you've trusted until now, the folks on whom you're pinning your hopes for safety and success, are all bad guys. And, of course, it's a terrific scene in the original book, too. Robert Louis Stevenson was really on fire when he first started writing Treasure Island in 1881. He wrote the first 15 chapters of the book in about 15 days. Chapters started appearing in public, in magazines, almost immediately, like a month after he first had the idea for Treasure Island. I mean, he really was writing like a madman. But then illness interrupted him. Now, Robert Louis Stevenson spent years and years in poor health, though it didn't keep him from seeing the world. It did interrupt his writing, though. And while he was getting his strength back up, he would often talk about the book with his dad, Thomas Stevenson. Thomas Stevenson, Robert Louis Stevenson's dad, was a lighthouse designer and a meteorologist, too. He studied the wind and the waves. He was a scientist, but he had a flair for a good story, too. And this famous scene, the James in the apple barrel listening to the pirate plans scene, was his idea. Robert Louis Stevenson's dad, Thomas Stevenson, during one of those talks he had with his son about the book during a time of illness. It was a pretty good idea, right? And the apple barrel scene, just like in Treasure Island 2020, is a cliffhanger in the original novel. Last week's episode of Treasure Island 2020 left James in the barrel with the pirates realizing that there's someone there. And the book puts the cliffhanger in a slightly different place. Here's how the book goes. This is the last part of the chapter called The Voyage. Now, just after sundown, when all my work was over and I was on my way to my berth, it occurred to me that I should like an apple. I ran on deck. The watch was all forward, looking out for the island. The man at the helm was watching the luff of the sail and whistling away gently to himself. And that was the only sound, excepting the swish of the sea against the bows and around the sides of the ship. In I got, bodily, into the apple barrel, and found there was scarce an apple left, but sitting down there in the dark, what with the sound of the waters and the rocking movement of the ship, I had either fallen asleep or was on the point of doing so, when a heavy man sat down with rather a clash close by. The barrel shook as he leaned his shoulders against it, and I was just about to jump up when the man began to speak. It was Silver's voice, and before I had heard a dozen words, I would not have shown myself for all the world, but lay there, trembling and listening, in the extreme of fear and curiosity, for from these dozen words I understood that the lives of all the honest men aboard depended upon me alone. That was the last part of the chapter called The Voyage in Robert Louis Stevenson's Treasure Island. And that's a pretty good cliffhanger, yeah? I mean, imagine that scene. James Hawkins inside the barrel and Long John Silver not only in the room, but sitting down with his shoulder right against the barrel. Well, James sets us up for the next chapter only by saying that what he heard the men in the room say left him convinced that the lives of the whole crew, at least the part of the crew that wasn't made up of pirates, depended on him. Now, the next chapter is called What I Heard in the Apple Barrel, and we'll read it. Now, it's full of pirate language, and I'm not talking about bad language that your folks wouldn't let you listen to. I'm just talking about, you know, old-timey pirate language, kind of tough to decode, if you know what I mean. So, as you listen, here's a little guide as to what James learns from inside that apple barrel. Long John Silver first talks about adventures he had with the crew of a captain named Flint, and how in an explosion he lost his leg and another pirate named Pew lost his eyes. Silver calls them deadlights, which is a name for windows of heavy glass in the side of a ship, but also slang for eyes. He's trying to convince the other guy in the room, a young sailor named Dick, to join them in their mutiny when the time comes. And then another guy comes in. His name is Israel Hands, and he wants to mutiny right now, take command of the ship, and use it to find the treasure. Long John Silver is smarter than that, though. He says it would be better to wait. After all, Captain Smollett, the captain of the Hispaniola in the original novel, is already doing the work of sailing the ship to find the treasure, and once they've found it, loaded it aboard, and are on their way home, that, says John Silver, is the time to mutiny. He talks Dick and Israel into continuing along, pretending that they're not pirates, but rather simply sailors before the mast. Before the mast, he says. And this is one of my favorite phrases to learn about in this part of the book. If you're a sailor, before the mast, it means you're a regular seaman. You're not an officer. Now, there are places where the officers sleep, in the back part of the ship, behind the mast, and places where regular sailors sleep, in the front part of the ship, or before the mast. If you're before the mast, it means you're not an officer. You sleep in the forecastle at the front part of the ship. Long John Silver is telling his men to sleep forward. You'll hear that. It means to pretend that they're regular old sailors until it's time to mutiny. Ready for a little Robert Louis Stevenson? Here's what the chapter called What I Heard in the Apple Barrel sounds like in the original 1881 story. The chapter starts off with the words that James heard Long John Silver say.
No, not I, said Silver. Flint was captain. I was quartermaster, along of my timber leg. The same broadside I lost my leg, old Pew lost his deadlights. It was a master surgeon, him that amputated me, out of college and all, Latin by the bucket and whatnot. But he was hanged like a dog, and sun-dried like the rest at Corso Castle. That was Robert's men, that was, and comed of changing names to their ships, Royal Fortune, and so on. Now, what a ship was christened, so let her stay, I says. So it was with the Cassandra, as brought us all safe home from Malabar, after England took the Viceroy of the Indies. So it was with the old Walrus, Flint's old ship, if I've seen a muck with the red blood and fit to sink with gold. Ah, cried another voice, that of the youngest hand on board, and evidently full of admiration. He was the flower of the flock, was Flint. Davis was a man too, by all accounts, said Silver. I never sailed along of him, first with England, then with Flint, that's my story. Now here on my own account, in a manner of speaking. I laid by 900 safe from England, and 2,000 after Flint. That ain't bad for a man before the mast, all safe in bank. "'Tain't earning now, it's saving, does it, you may lay to that. "'Where's all England's men now? I dunno. "'Where's Flint's? Why, most of 'em on board here, "'and glad to get the duff, been begging before that, some on 'em. "'Old Pew, as had lost his sight, and might have thought shame, "'spends £1,200 in a year like a lord in Parliament. "'Where is he now? Well, he's dead now, and under hatches. But for 2 years before that, shiver my timbers, the man was starving. He begged, and he stole, and he cut throats, and starved at that by the powers.
Well, it ain't much use after all, said the young seaman.
"'Tain't much use for fools, you may lay to it. That nor nothing,' cried Silver. "'But now, you look here. You're young, you are. "'But you're as smart as paint. "'I see that when I set my eyes on you, "'and I'll talk to you like a man.'
"'You may imagine how I felt when I heard this abominable old rogue "'addressing another in the very same words of flattery "'as he had used to myself. "'I think if I'd been able, that I would have killed him through the barrel. "'Meantime,' he ran on, little supposing he was overheard.
"'Here it is about gentlemen of fortune. "'They lives rough, and they risk swinging, "'but they eat and drink like fighting cocks. "'And when a cruise is done, why, it's hundreds of pounds "'instead of hundreds of farthings in their pockets. "'Now, the most goes for rum, and a good fling, "'and to sea again in their shirts. "'But that's not the course I lay. "'I puts it all away, some here, some there, "'and none too much anywheres by reason of suspicion. "'I'm 50, mark you, once back from this cruise. "'I set up gentlemen in earnest. "'Time enough, too, says you. "'Ah, but I've lived easy in the meantime, "'never denied myself of nothing my heart desires, "'and slept soft and ate dainty all my days, but when at sea. "'And how did I begin? "'Before the mast, like you.' "'Well,' said the other, "'but all the other money's gone now, ain't it? "'You daren't show face in Bristol after this.'
"'Why, where might you suppose it was?' asked Silver derisively.
"'At Bristol, in banks and places,' answered his companion.
"'It were,' said the cook. "'It were when we weighed anchor. "'But my old missus has it all by now, "'and the spyglass is sold, lease, and goodwill and rigging, "'and the old girl's off to meet me. "'I would tell you where, for I trust you, but... "'It'd make jealousy among the mates.'
"'And can you trust your missus?' asked the other.
"'Gentlemen of fortune,' returned the cook. "'Usually counts little among themselves, and right they are, as you may lay to it. "'But I have a way with me, I have. "'When a mate brings a slip on his cable, one as knows me, I mean, "'it won't be in the same world with old John. "'There was some that was afeard of Pew, and some that was afeard of Flint, "'but Flint his own self was feared of me. "'Feared he was.' "'And proud. "'They was the roughest crew afloat, was Flint's. "'The devil himself would have been feared to go to sea with them. "'Well, now, I tell you, I'm not a boasting man, "'and you've seen yourself how easy I keep company, "'but when I was quartermaster, "'lambs wasn't the word for Flint's old buccaneers. "'Ah, you may be sure of yourself in old John's ship.'
"'Well, I tell you now,' replied the lad, "'I didn't half a quarter like the job "'till I had this talk with you, John.' "'There's my hand on it now.'
"'And a brave lad you were, and smart, too,' answered Silver, "'shaking hands so heartily that all the barrel shook. "'And a finer figurehead for a gentleman of fortune "'I never clapped my eyes on.'
"'By this time I had begun to understand the meaning of their terms. "'By a gentleman of fortune they plainly meant "'neither more nor less than a common pirate. "'And the little scene that I had overheard was the last act in the corruption of one of the honest hands, perhaps of the last one left aboard. But on this point I was soon to be relieved, for Silver giving a little whistle, a third man strolled up and sat down by the party.
"'Dick Square,' said Silver. "'Oh, I'd know Dick was square,' returned the voice of the coxswain, Israel Hands. "'He's no fool, is Dick?' And he turned his quid and spat. "'But look here,' he went on, "'here's what I want to know, Barbecue.' How long are we going to stand off and on like a blessed bumboat? I've had almost enough of Captain Smollett. He's hazed me long enough, by thunder. I want to go into that cabin, I do. I want their pickles and wines and that.
Israel, said Silver, your head ain't much account, nor ever was, but you're able to hear, I reckon. Leastways your ears is big enough. Now here's what I say. You'll berth forward, and you'll live hard, and you'll speak soft, and you'll keep sober till I give the word. "'And you may lay to that, my son.'
"'Well, I don't say no, do I?' growled the coxswain. "'What I say is when. That's what I say.'
"'When? By the powers!' cried Silver. "'Well, now, if you want to know, I'll tell you when. "'The last moment I can manage, and that's when. "'Here's a first-rate seaman, Captain Smollett, "'sails the blessed ship for us. "'Here's a squire and doctor with a map and such. "'I don't know where it is, do I? "'No more do you,' says you.' "'Well, then, I mean this squire and doctor shall find the stuff,
and help us to get it aboard by the powers, and then we'll see. If I was sure of you all, sons of double Dutchmen, I'd have Captain Smollett navigate us halfway back again before I struck. Why, we're all seamen aboard here, I should think, said the lad Dick.
We're all forecastle hands, you mean, snapped Silver.
We can steer a course, but who's to set one? That's what all you gentlemen split on, first and last. If I had my way, I'd have Captain Smollett work us back into the trades, at least. Then we'd have no blessed miscalculations and a spoonful of water a day. But I know the sort you are. I'll finish with them at the island. As soon as the blunt's on board, and a pity it is. But you're never happy till you're drunk. Split my sides, I've a sick heart to sail with the likes of you.
Easy all, Long John. Who's a crossing of you?
Why, how many tall ships, think ye, now have I seen laid aboard? And how many brisk lads drying in the sun at execution dock, cried Silver. And all for this same hurry and hurry and hurry, you hear me? I seen a thing or two at sea, I have. If you wouldn't only lay your course and a pint to windward, you'd ride in carriages, you would. But not you, I know you. You'll have your mouth full of rum tomorrow and go hang.
Everybody knowed you was kind of a chaplain, John, but there's others as could hand and steer as well as you, said Israel. They liked a bit of fun, they did. They wasn't so high and dry, no how, but took their fling like jolly companions, every one.
So, says Silver, well, and where are they now? Pew was that sort, and he died a beggar man. Flint was, and he died of rum at Savannah. Ah, they was a sweet crew, they was. Only where are they? But, asked Dick, when do we lay 'em mathward? Where are we going to do with 'em anyhow? There's a man for me, cried the cook admiringly. That's what I call business. Well, what would you think? But put 'em ashore like maroons. That would have been England's way, or cut 'em down like that much pork. That would have been Flint's or Billy Bones's.
Billy was the man for that, said Israel. Dead men don't bite, says he.
Well, he's dead now himself. He knows the long and short on it now, and if ever a rough hand come to port, it was Billy. Right you are, said Silver, rough and ready. But mark you here, I'm an easy man. I'm quite the gentleman, says you. But this time it's serious. Duty is duty, mates. I'll give my vote death. When I'm in Parliament and riding in my coach, I don't want none of these sea lawyers in the cabin a-coming home, unlooked for, like the devil at prayers. Wait, is what I say. But when the time comes, why, let her rip.
John, cries the coxswain, you're a man.
You'll say so, Israel, when you see, said Silver. Only one thing I claim Trelawney. I'll wring his calf's head off his body with these hands, Dick, he added, breaking off. You just jump up like a sweet lad and get me an apple to wet my pipe like. You may fancy the terror I was in. I should have leaped out and run for it if I'd found the strength, but my limbs and heart alike misgave me. I heard Dick begin to rise, and then someone seemingly stopped him, and the voice of Hans exclaimed,
"Oh, stow that!
Don't you get sucking off that bilge, John. Let's have a go of the rum." "Dick," said Silver, "I trust you. I've a gauge on the leg, mind. There's the key. You feel a pannikin and bring it up." Terrified as I was, I could not help thinking to myself that this must have been how Mr. Arrow got the strong waters that destroyed him. Dick was gone but a little while, and during his absence Israel spoke straight on in the cook's ear. It was but a word or two that I could catch, and yet I gathered some important news, for besides other scraps that tended to the same purpose, this whole clause was audible. Not another man of them will jine. Hence, there were still faithful men on board. When Dick returned, one after another of the trio took the pannikin and drank, one to luck, another with a here's to old Flint, and Silver himself saying in a kind of song, here's to ourselves and hold your luff, plenty of prizes and plenty of duff. Just then a sort of brightness fell upon me in the barrel, and looking up, I found the moon had risen and was silvering the mizzen top and shining white on the luff of the foresail, and almost at the same time the voice of the lookout shouted, land ho!
So there you go.
In all that pirate talk, James learns that the pirates are going to mutiny, take over the ship and the treasure too, but they're going to wait. The pirates are going to pretend to be regular old sailors for now. And Long John Silver is going to keep pretending to be the ship's cook. Now, James also learns something important when he hears Silver say, "Not another man of them will join." He learns that not everyone on board is a pirate. Some people on board won't join the mutiny. And he learns one more thing, too, something terrifying. He learns that Long John Silver himself wants to kill Squire Trelawney, the good guy that plays a big role in the novel. In fact, he's the guy who arranged for the voyage in the first place, but who isn't in Treasure Island 2020 at all. So there's no reason to worry about him, right? At least in Treasure Island 2020. Except, of course, we learn there that anyone thinking John Silver is a good guy is bonkers. Now, the pirates surely would have found James listening in the apple barrel if they hadn't sighted land. It's a lucky stroke for James, right? I mean, who knows what would have happened if they'd have found him in there, listening in that apple barrel. It's terrifying to wonder what might have happened to our hero, and it's nerve-wracking to hear him in that tough spot, and it's tantalizing to wonder what he'll do with the information he has now. Well, you won't have to wait long to find out what happens to James and his friends, or at least you won't have to wait long to find out what happens next. Tomorrow on the Appleseed, we'll bring you Treasure Island 2020, Episode 5. And in the meantime, by Googling Treasure Island 2020, you can find all 10 parts of the series in case you want to go back and listen to something again, or if you want to skip ahead because you just can't wait to find out what happens next. It's such a pleasure to have you with us on the Appleseed. Our producer is Jeff Simpson. Our audio engineer is Stuart Foster. I'm Sam Payne, and we'll see you next time on the Appleseed.
Thanks for joining us for an hour of stories, music, and conversation made for you and your family and brought to you by the Appleseed. The show is a production of BYU Radio. We'll see you next time.